Now we turn to Romans and chapter 12. I encourage you that to keep it open. We'll be referring to it in the next few moments. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So in the last few weeks, we've been reflecting on this overall theme of making progress, thinking about some of the key themes, some of the key elements that really we need to get a grasp of and to understand in our minds and our hearts and put into practice some of them if we're to make good progress in our lives. And I'm aware that as I have gone through, it may be that I've said nothing new. It may be that I've said all sorts of things you've heard before, but I've said them in a different way. But if you're anything like me, as we journey through life, and particularly our journey of life, of faith, we need to be reminded, don't we? We need to be reminded over and over again of the key elements of our faith, of how we need to live with one another and with God, how we need to walk with one another and with God. And over the last few weeks, I've had key words. We've reflected on the authority of Jesus, the blessing of Jesus, the glory of God, faith, the fact that faith is a journey. We don't ever, in a sense, arrive, but we step into Christ but continue the journey. We live as a community together. We're not alone. We have to remember that God is our Father and we are loved absolutely, completely, generously by God our Father. And then last week we reflected on fruit, the fruit of God's Spirit living within us. And particularly it was under these 2 weeks, fruit and gifts. Fruit and gifts. Well, we reflected on fruit last week. Fruit as our character, in as much that we allow God to live with us and in us, in as much as we live in humility with one another and with God, in as much as we live in obedience to God, in as much as we live in love, so our lives, our characters are transformed. Character transformation is not something that happens in an instant. Sometimes I wish it was, you know? And maybe that you look at me and think, wow, if only we could pray for Ed and he could be transformed, you know? All the rough edges would be knocked off in an instant. Wouldn't that be great? Or you could look at your marriage partner or your friend or your brother or your sister or something and think, if only I could pray and just in a moment they'd be transformed. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah? It would be great, in a way. It'd be great if we could, in an instant. But the Bible talks very clearly about fruit. Fruit takes time to grow. In our garden, I've planted two apple trees a number of years ago now. Planted two apple trees. And each year, the apple trees have produced fruit. Last year was a hopeless year for fruit. Have any of you guys got apple trees? I don't know if it was just fruit generally, but last year, I don't know, these two apple trees delivered like three apples of the two trees. It was hopeless. And I can't remember now, but there's some reason why crops weren't very good. But this year, already, you know, the mini little apples, they're laden with fruit. And the thing about fruit, it's season after season after season, year after year after year, produces fruit. And one of the things about fruit is produced that it might be given away. It's not to just stay and go, hey, look what I've got, because it goes rotten if you don't use it. So it has to be given away, it has to be used. And then we can't rest, as it were, and say, do you know what? I'm so loving. Well, what do you mean you're so loving? Ah, oh, well, you see, 6 years ago, I had a great harvest of love. You know? Or 24 years ago, whenever it was, when this particular event happened, I was so full of the joy of the Lord, you know, it was the fruit of the Spirit in me. You know, that was then. And one of the challenging things is, it's about now. What is God doing now in your life? And we can't look back and go, well, that was great, and I'll rest on that. Because it's a bit like last year for my apples. It was rubbish. You know, it really wasn't very good. So I was looking for another harvest. And this year it's much better. So the thing about fruit and the transformation of our characters, it's ongoing, year after year, month after month, week after week. We are seeking, living in humility, obedience and love, to have lives that are changed by God. But then, of course, we're thinking also about gifts. When we talk about gifts, we're talking about talents and abilities, gifts that we have. Some of us may think, well, I know what my gifts are. As far as I am aware, the gifts I have, I've always had. Maybe we can't remember when we weren't able to do whatever it is that we're able to do, our particular gift, our skill. It may be that we became aware of our gift later in life when we had opportunity to pick up a musical instrument, or we had opportunity in terms of administration, or somebody said to us, do you know what, your real gift is that of encouragement, or whatever our gift is. And the Bible, of course, talks about gifts, all sorts of gifts, and we could probably, you know, amongst us, name probably tens, hundreds of different gifts that people have. But each one of our gifts, whether we think it's part of us, innate within us, or we think we've received, as it were, from God later in life a particular gift, I want to say all the gifts, all the talents we have are gifts from God. All the gifts, all the talents we have, all the abilities we have, our gifts from God. And so they are used for him as we use would seek to use anything. Now I'm going to put up some words, and there's five words I'm going to put up, and this will just lead us through in the next few minutes. Worship, transformation, humility, connected, love. Okay, worship, transformation, humility, connected, love. And we begin thinking about worship. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, you might say, well, what do you mean? We're talking today about gifts, abilities, talents. Why talk about worship? Are you saying that when if my gift is as a mechanic, mending a car, and I know my way around and I'm intuitive in that particular gift, are you saying I should be singing praises to God at the same time? Or when I'm doing the books as an accountant, if that's my gift, are you suggesting I should be singing songs and psalms at the same time as worship? You could. It could be interesting, couldn't it? But worship, to worship, is to offer to God honor. It is to offer to God that which is owing to him. It's to reflect back to God his goodness. If God has loved us, we reflect that love back. If God has given us a gift, we use that gift for him. So if our gift is in accountancy with numbers, we say, I want to worship you with my gift. So as I do the books, Lord, be with me. I want every stroke of my pen, every tap of a key to be an offering of worship to you. If your particular gift is fiddling with cars, and now that's disrespectful to mechanics. They don't fiddle with cars, do they? I mean, they mend cars or whatever engineering gift we might have. Lord, every pipe I fix, every broken car I can analyze and discern what is wrong. Lord, I want every act of mine to be an act of worship to you. I may not even think about you, Lord, while I'm doing it, but I want it to be an act of worship to you. If my gift is being with people, talking with them and encouraging them, whether I'm aware of you, Lord, or not, I want every word I speak, every word I hear, every thought in my head to be an act of worship, to say, Lord, I've always had this gift, I think, but I want it to be an act of worship as I do this. Every time I play this particular instrument or part of this orchestra, whatever anybody else does and whatever they play, Lord, for me, I play for your joy. I play for you. And that's why we begin with worship when we talk about gifts, whatever our ability is. You know, I saw the runners. You know, did you see some of the runners, the 10K, Evesham 10K runners this morning? I thought, well, if you're athletic, any of you? You know, if we're particularly athletic. Do you remember Eric Liddell in the film Chariots of Fire? I run because it pleases God. I feel his delight. When I run, I can run fast, you know, and it's just the understanding I'm athletic, I'm fast, or whatever it is, I'm skillful. I do it because God's watching, because he's given me the gift. So we reflect back to God. So that's where we need to begin with gifts. Now, tie it in with character. If we're of bad character, are we going to worship God with our gift? I doubt it. You know, so it's character first, fruit first. That's the priority. Gifts often present themselves first. We know what somebody's talent is. We know what somebody's gift is more likely before we discern their fruit, their character. But it's the character that we need if we're going to use our gifts well. It begins with worship, offering it to God. Secondly, transformation, you'll have guessed. Verse 2, of Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We have our gifts, we have our abilities, we have our talents, and we use them in worship to God. But then Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Now, all the gifts and talents and abilities we see that people have, we live in a particular culture that I guess fundamentally is selfish. And it may be that a lot of the gifts and the talents that we see around us are used selfishly. And we might think, you know, we go into a boardroom perhaps for a meeting and we say, well, this is how directors act in the boardroom. We're tough and we fight one another and we're vindictive and vengeful. That is the culture in which we live. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm a director in this boardroom, but this is my gift and my talent, which I offer to worship. I cannot be vengeful. I cannot be vindictive. It's all transformed. It's a transforming of your mind of how would Jesus do this? Now, of course, if we struggle with that, we say, well, I cannot be successful. I want to say, maybe you can. Maybe you can be by being different. Whatever our gift is, we need to say, okay, I will not use my gift as the world uses this particular gift, as my culture says I should use my gift. I will say, well, it's an act of worship. How can I use this ability in an honoring way to God? So transformation is necessary. Of course, that ties in again with character. There are those who've said to me, well, my musical ability, my singing is a gift God has given me. And people have said, I won't sing except for the Lord. They will only sing songs of hymns of praise and psalms of praise because it's from God. I want to honor him in that. And whatever it is, whichever area of life we're in, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. So transformation is key to our use of gifts. Okay? Next, humility. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And then Paul goes on to identify particular gifts. It's about humility. We talked about humility last week in terms of fruit and character, the need for humility to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but with, I love this phrase, with sober judgment. It says, with sober judgment, according to the measure of faith God has given you. You know, sometimes when somebody says to us, you know, you are fantastic at that particular thing. You're a genius. Oh, no, it's nothing. Do you know how often we say that? Sometimes the truth is we are a genius. Some of us are brilliant. Some of us are masterful in a particular thing. And Paul says, with sober judgment, in according to the measure of faith God has given you, and with humility, we say, well, thank you. I know God has given me a great gift. But we don't diss it and we don't put it down. Now, it may be that we are proud And it may be that we just need to keep our mouth shut and not respond because we know we're going to go, oh, yes, I'm so fantastic. Look at me. It's wonderful. And we just need to go, no. Okay. According to the measure of faith, the measure of faith, I think that what that's talking about is that transformation of character that God has brought about in you so that you can say, yeah, God is good. He has given me a great gift. I want to use it for him. Comes down again to humility, never saying, my gift is better than yours. I'm better at this than you. Because we want to encourage one another. And so Paul goes on to talk about how we are all then connected to one another. And that's the need. If we're connected, to connect and relate well to one another, then we need to understand we are a body together. And this image of the body, you know, I love my ears, I love my nose, I love my mouth. But if I was to isolate my ear, it would be useless. Or my nose, or remove my foot from my body, I don't know what it could do. Not very much. It is only in its connectedness that my body works. It's only in our connectedness, in humility, that we work and we function together. And it is in the body, the different gifts graciously given by God, offered as worship to God, understanding that we use our gifts in a manner that is transformed, not according to the way of this world, humbly. And then we honor God together in all the different things that we are able to do. And it is this connectedness. We have different gifts, verse 6, according to the grace given us. You see this word grace that keeps coming up? Verse 3, for by the grace given me. Verse 6, according to the grace given us. That is the charis, the charismata, the grace gift. God generously, graciously gives gifts to us. And particularly in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the grace that he's given you. The grace gift that is given you. And finally, in reflecting on love. Love must be sincere. Verse 9. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. And so on. Once again, we come down to love. Now, of course, once upon a time, these verses weren't separated into verses. They weren't divided into paragraphs. They weren't divided up in the way that they are now. And so we need to read chapter 12 straight through. Love. Why does, just as in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul talks about different gifts and then says love. Here he talks about different gifts and then says love. It's all bound up in love. The passage we read earlier from 1 Corinthians says some very stark things about love. And I remember reading these words, or not reading them for the first time, but understanding them for the first time. I was shocked. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. And we might say, do you know what? I don't mind. I quite like the idea of being a clanging gong or a cymbal. That's okay. I've got my gifts. And we might think, okay, I don't mind. But then he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, and this is where Paul makes the point, if I have all the gifts, the greatest gifts, but I have not love, he then categorically states, if I do not have love, I am nothing. What a shocking statement. I am nothing. When I was a pastor in London, I think I probably told this story before, but each day I would step out of the house. Didn't have a very long drive. It was kind of three paces to the pavement. And I would say to God, okay, God, I'm here. And I would walk. I found it very difficult to sit down to pray. So I would step out the house, out the gate, and say, Lord, I'm here. And the idea was that I would just go for a walk. And maybe I would just walk. Maybe I would talk to God on the way. Sometimes I would complain to God about what was happening. I'm sure he listened patiently to me. I hope he did. I remember one time I was whinging to God. And things were difficult in the church at the particular time. And I just visited to preach at another church. It happened to be in Essex, actually, you know, but it was really nice, you know. And of course, you know, the grass is always greener. But I'd preached in this other church, and it was great. And I was saying, oh, Lord, why do I have to be here? You know, why? You know, can't I be there? Oh, it'd be so good. Lord, why do I have to suffer these insufferable people? And oh, dear. And I was just going on and on and on. Why do I have to? And, you know, in a moment, I could probably take you to the spot where this happened. In a moment, God spoke to me. Almost audibly, I brought you here to teach you things about myself. And my instantaneous reaction was, hang on, I'm here, my first church, to learn how to be a minister, to learn how to preach, to learn how to pastor, to learn how to lead. I brought you here to teach you things about myself. And I realized in that moment something that transformed me and has guided me ever since. God is not actually very interested in my gifts if I will not first serve him. God is not very interested in what I can do unless I will first love him. God is not interested in how much of a genius I am or think I am unless I will offer all my genius to him. Why are you here? Why do you have the gifts that you have? Yes, it is to serve, but it is that you might discover more about who God is in yourself and in others. May God's grace surround us as we seek to live out with good character, use our gifts he's given us. Let's pause for a moment and then we'll sing together. And in our silence, I suggest to you that you've reflected what your gift is or your many gifts are. And I encourage you just to offer those gifts to God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.